So I'm Jamie Gibson Barrows. I'm actually the present treasurer for CCCLV. And some of our directors are also on this call or on this, I guess, Zoom call. Yes. And I'm going to go ahead and get this started. And then Steve is our host. Okay, so welcome to the CCCLV pre-convention. We do have a guest speaker today who will be I'll be handing off the mic to here shortly, who is Kathy Laird. Kathy is with Valley Center for the Blind. She is the and the only and the ultra clinic coordinator in the low vision clinic that is in the Valley Center for the Blind here in Fresno. She covers the territory from Madera to Larry, Kings, Kern, and Visalia area. And as well as you probably read that she has 25 years of experience in the ophthalmology profession. So it'll be great to hear from her in just a few minutes. For some of you, thank you for coming, members and guests. I just want to quickly read some information about CCCLV in case you're not familiar with our affiliate. So, we are a statewide affiliate organization of the California Council of the Blind, CCB. We are also an affiliate with the Council of Citizens with Low Vision International, and an affiliate, of course, of the American Council for the Blind, or of the Blind. We are a community of people affected by low vision who understand one another's needs and experiences. CCCLV offers support, resources, education, and advocacy to those who are impacted by low vision and visual impairment. From timely publications to live Zoom calls, new friendships, and online resources, discover all we want to share with you. As an organization for charitable and educational purposes, CCLV aims to advocate for people with low vision to make full use of their vision through all necessary aids, services, and technology, to provide a platform for expressing people with low vision's needs, interests, and preferences, to educate the public, service providers, and the low vision community themselves about their collective potential, capabilities, and needs, to promote outreach programs that ensure equal access to fundamental support services and public facilities for all adults and children, to practice research designs that facilitate sight preservation and enhancement, vision loss prevention, and maximum sight utilization, to support the evolving service training needs of service providers, expand comprehensive low vision services throughout California, and support CCC or CCLVI throughout the United States. Members of CCB, or members of CCLV, CCB, CCLVI, and ACB communities with privileges, which are some of our benefits, CCLV. I get to read it. CCCLV members, CCCLV community chat, twice a month, CCCLV Facebook page, opportunities to participate and develop stronger communications and leadership skills on committees such as advocacy, programs, and services and nominations. Services as a CCLV office who guide the affiliates organization forward. For more information on CCCLV, our current president is Penny. I can't, oh my gosh, I just went blank on her name. Penny Baldovino. Oh my goodness. You can reach her at the plvaldovino@gmail.com, or of course you could always go to the CCB website and get our contact information there as well. Phew, how was that? So,
Very good.
thank you. So for those of you who hopefully I was able to shed some light on our affiliate, and I want to welcome you, all of you who know about us, who are special guests. And with that said, I am going to go ahead and turn it over to our guest speaker, Kathy Laird. Take it away, Kathy.
Thanks, Jamie. You can hear me?
Yes.
Okay, just making sure. Thank you so much for having me today. I'm very much a medical clinician, so I'm not a speaker most of the time, but I'm very excited to be here today and share my knowledge. And I hope that all of you take something home today with you, that helps you with your roles or positions. So I thought I would start just by reviewing what the medical community's titles are with regards to vision loss and what they do in terms of their medical field. So I will start with explaining what an optometrist is. And an optometrist is also a low vision doctor if they are trained and work at a blind center during their residency. And we are lucky to have one of those in Fresno that works at our clinic with me. She's wonderful, and she worked at the Long Beach Blind Center down in Southern California during her residency. Optometrists are also the type of doctor that you would go to for a general eye exam. They check you for glasses, and they prescribe glasses and contact lenses. They can do some medical treatment. They have to do continuing education and get additional self-certifications to do that as an optometrist, but they can do that. And a lot of them do and can prescribe some medications. So then we go to the next type of eye doctor, and that is an ophthalmologist. A general ophthalmologist does general eye care and prescribing medication. They can see very simple glaucoma cases. They do a lot of cataract diagnosing, and they do a lot of cataract surgery. Cataract surgery is the number one surgery that is performed in the world and in the United States, especially right now with all of our boomers getting older. Cataracts. A lot of people think that they're a disease, but they are not. Cataracts are actually just the lens inside the eye getting old. And so it gets hardened and it turns opaque as we age. And once it gets to the point to where someone's vision is impaired by it, then they can go in and have cataract surgery and they can get their vision pretty much fixed. It's a very safe surgery, and is done all the time. After, so those are our medical general ophthalmologists. And then we have our medical ophthalmologist specialists. So those would be a specialist in glaucoma, a specialist in neuro ophthalmology, corneal specialists that do transplant surgeries, and then, of course, our retina doctors that do retina surgery and treat our patients that have macular degeneration with different types of therapies. So we work a lot, I work a lot with those ophthalmic medical specialists because obviously we see a lot of people with macular degeneration, corneal disease, and glaucoma, or, which is a very, unfortunately, a very lots of people have glaucoma in the US as well. Then we even go a step further, and then we have our education settings. So that's like UCLA, Jule Stein, UCSF, USC. And those are training residency programs that teach our new ophthalmologists that are coming, into the field. And they're also the settings where they do genetic testing, as well as treat unusual cases that are not normally seen in a general clinic. If you've got someone who's special and they haven't quite seen these cases before, they'll send them to those university settings for them to get additional care, medical care if needed. So that kind of just breaks that all down for you so that you can kind of understand that. And of course, our retina doctors, too, I forgot to say this, also treat our diabetics, our diabetic patients that have diabetic retinopathy, which is the number one reason for blindness in the United States. Is untreated diabetic blood sugars that get the sugar gets into the fluid inside the eye and causes the blood vessels to bleed, which causes the damage to the retina. So that finishes kind of that part for you. Now I'll go into what I first do when we start to assess our patients. The first thing that I do when working with patients with low vision is we do a very, very thorough history about their condition and where they're at with their vision. And then, of course, a vision assessment, checking their vision, checking their reading vision and their distance vision to see where they're at. And of course, to try to see where we'd like to bring them and if we can, enhance their vision and make it better. I personally try to get as much information as I can. And then I also give a lot of advice. People actually, a lot of patients don't realize about some of the things that could possibly help them or even make their vision better. So I call myself a vision counselor sometimes. I get people in clinic that don't understand their eye condition. Or maybe they went to a doctor that didn't really encourage them to do some things that they could possibly do to help themselves. And I'll just give you an example. And this just happened to me 2 weeks ago. I had a gentleman that came in for his assessment to get started with services, and he had central.
I am so sorry. This is Steve. I muted you by mistake. I was trying to mute somebody else, and
Oh,
so sorry.
it's okay. I just was like, oh, what happened? Okay, back to what I was talking about. Not a problem. So this gentleman had central corneal scarring. So it's almost like his windshield was cloudy, right? In his vision's, his vision area for him to see through that cornea. And he also had really dense cataracts. So he has like two things fogging up his vision. So his vision was basically just light perception in both eyes. And so my first question was, have you talked to someone about having a transplant or having cataract surgery to see how much vision you could get back? And he said, yeah, we talked about it a little bit, but I'm just not sure. And my doctor didn't totally encourage me. And I said, I said, you need to get a second opinion because corneal transplants are very successful and so is cataract surgery. And so he could definitely change his whole vision system by having those procedures. So I encouraged him and I hope that he won't need our services in the future because hopefully he'll regain a lot of his acuity. Of course, I'm not a medical doctor and you're not able to look into someone's eyes when they have those type of diagnoses, but some of the medical doctors and the specialists have types of equipment where they can scan and look at the retina and make sure that it's healthy before they move into those types of surgeries. So, a lot of health coaching I do. Then, of course, we deal with all of the other disease processed genetic conditions. RP, reverse RP, albinism, rod cone dystrophy, Stargardt's, Usher's, Leber's. And unfortunately, as we all know, these are progressive diseases that doctors really cannot intervene and help with those. So again, I'll go back to the first thing that we do in an assessment is we look at their vision for reading and for distance and get a good read of where they're at. And most people that come to our clinic are wanting assistance with their reading vision. Not that they don't have issues with their distance vision, because a lot of them do as well, but we don't have as many aids for distance vision to help it with that improvement. But we do have a few, so I'll review those with you. We have one device called a Patriot View, which you probably have heard of. It's kind of like a VR headset, and you can control it with the side mechanisms to zoom in and zoom out on distance magnification. And there's also a new one similar to that called the eSight glasses. And these are more similar to actually a pair of glasses with a screen in them. And you wear a little power pouch around the neck with that. And it does the same thing. But what's different about these is they don't have the side peripheral vision coverage like a VR machine does. So it gives someone who has their peripheral vision the ability to walk around with those. So those would be really good for someone who needs that magnification, maybe if they were out watching a child play sports. And they wanted to be able to navigate being out, at a park or something. And then when they sit down, zone in and increase that magnification and contrast if they need to watch their family member play soccer or whatever the situation is. And then we also have these little magnification clips that can go on glasses. And those give us a little bit of magnification for TV viewing for some. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. But if someone's having issues with watching the TV, then we will try that clip just to see if it helps magnify the television for them. And then, of course, I always recommend big TVs, as large a screen as you can get for them. All right. So the first thing that we look at for reading vision, and it seems really simple, but sometimes it helps, is readers. So re reading glasses start at a plus one magnification, and the normal standard readers go all the way up to a 350, like if you go to CVS and buy a pair of, over-the-counter readers. But what a lot of people don't know is that you can get plus fours, plus fives, and even plus six reading glasses online that have a lot of additional magnification. So it could be as simple as giving someone a brighter light and an additional reading correction to help them to be able to read better. So we always start with that if that's indicated, because sometimes it's not indicated because they have other prescription in glasses. And so just adding that power is not really necessarily going to help them. But if they aren't connected to a pair of glasses, then we try that. And sometimes it really can help. And then after trying readers, next, we go to our just regular magnifiers, which we all know about. And the ones that we always recommend are the LED or warm lighted magnifiers. Those start at about a 3x magnification, and you can get those all the way up to a 12. The problem with that, and it is a problem, is the stronger the magnifier, the smaller the size of them is. So I say you lose a lot of real estate when you get a stronger power. So you want to find the perfect lowest power that someone can use to get to maximize their near vision. So we'll trial those. Start at a three. If that's not strong enough, then we trial a four. And then if that's not strong enough, we trial a five. And just try to dial in that number for that patient and figure out what's their best. And then after we figure that out, I go through an explanation with them about other different types of magnifiers. Excuse me. Just got to take a sip of tea here for a sec. So there's a lot of other styles of magnifiers. I call them specialty magnifiers. We've got little mini easy pocket magnifiers that go all the way up to 6 magnification, and there's the size of a credit card. And those are great for someone to keep in their bag or in their pocket when they're out and about at the grocery store and they can't read the labels. You know, they can just whip those out and help them to assist them to read when they're out and about. There's what we call stand magnifiers. And stand magnifiers sit on what you're trying to read. So they're very helpful for people that can't hold a magnifier and find the right spot, you know, moving that in and out to get that perfect magnification. So stand magnifiers are really good for people that have a hard time, like maybe if someone has some arthritis or has a little shake or tremor. So we'd go to a stand style for them as well. Just going to be easier for them to use, most definitely. And then, so basically, then we're done with just basic magnification magnifiers. And so at that point, depending on where the patient's vision is, and if we were able to help them with that, we always then trial with them handheld digital magnifiers. I think a lot of you are familiar with that. Digital magnifiers are have the ability to go from 3x magnification all the way to 12 and sometimes 18 and 20 magnification with these digital devices. But the handheld ones, again, because they're handheld, they can go from 3 inch all the way to 6 inch screens. And those, you know, depending on the person and their vision, obviously we want to give them, again, the most real estate possible for them to be able to read better. So one of our most commonly prescribed handheld digitals, there's one called a SmartLux Digital. It's by Eschenbach. There's the Ruby series, which I know a lot of people are familiar with. Ruby makes 3, 5, 6, all a lot of different ones. And then there's the Clover 6 handheld digital magnifier. That's a 6-inch screen. It has HD cameras, and it also has the ability to move out a handle and use as a handheld magnifier. And it has a distance camera on it as well, which is really great for people when they're out on the go. Say you go into a restaurant that has a menu up on a wall, they can bring out that 6-inch Clover and focus it on the distance with the distance camera and read that menu that's up on that wall. So anybody who has low vision really needs one of these because not only does it do the magnification piece, but it also does the contrast change. Sometimes just the reverse contrast is very helpful. If someone has trouble just reading a standard white background with black writing, they'll reverse that contrast to the black background with the white writing. I'm sure a lot of you know this. It really will accent and make the vision better. And I'll have someone in my chair and they can't use any of the magnifiers. As soon as I get that reverse contrast on for them, they're like, oh, I can see that. But if they didn't know about that before, obviously, you know, they were struggling. So we explain and train them quite a bit on being able to do that with their phones and any other bit of technology that they're using. So that reverse contrast, as you know, is extremely important. Then those are the handheld magnifiers or digital magnifiers. Now those can come larger. Those come, and then we have what I call our large page style size digital magnifiers. These come in 10 to 12 inch screens. I love the HumanWare 12 inch digital magnifier that comes with a stand. So it's almost like a CCTV option with a 12 inch screen, and you have the ability to work underneath that. There's also Optilec has a really great one that's a 10 inch screen that's all touch screen too, so you don't have a lot of tactile buttons on that one. So it depends on the patient and what they can do and what they can see if that one will work for them. But that one has a speech option on it, which is really great. So it can take a picture of a document and read the document to the person that's trying to read that. And then another one that I like is the Visilux digital magnifier by Eschenbach. It's a larger screen. It's about a 12 inch, maybe a little bigger than that, but it's really simple to use. It only has a few buttons. And I like that one for a lot of my seniors because they need simple devices that are easy for them to use. And then I always also, depending on the the patient's level of vision loss, show them gooseneck lamps with magnification and lighting. Gooseneck lamps can really help someone with trimming their fingernails if someone wants to try to still sew or crochet, so they're going to have that boost of magnification with light underneath that for them to maybe go back to some of the things that they enjoyed doing before. But again, just like everything else, that only works for certain people and certain levels of vision loss. And some of these devices, of course, don't work at all for some of our, people with vision loss because their vision loss is just too great. So when we get to that scenario, obviously we look at other options for them, which is reader devices, which we all know about. Some of the popular reader devices are the Lyric Reader, and now that's using some AI technology, which is really great. We also have the ClearView Reader. These are some more expensive options, but the newest and the latest and greatest is the Ray-Ban Meta glasses that have been put on the market now. Probably a lot of you know about these or even have them. Jamie has a pair on right now. We actually sent Jamie's Meta glasses into an optical place and we put her prescription in them and had a special tint put in them. And I'm going to go into tints next. The Meta glasses, if you don't know about them, are technically just like a reader device, but they're on your face. And so they can take a picture of anything, describe the room to you, read a document, read a menu, and it's right into the temples of the glasses so that it's not going to cause, other people around you to hear that and cause issues with that. It talks right to you. But these are really changing the blind community right now because of that ability to walk around with this device right on our face and read to us what's going on around us. So, Jamie, do you want to share a little bit about your Meta glasses since you use them all the time?
I'd be happy to. So the Meta glasses by Ray-Bans. Well, first, I learned about these through another peer actually, who is visually impaired and got them right away. And the funny thing is, it was made, by Meta for social, right? For the
Yeah,
social,
social media.
Facebook and all of that, right? For the sighted world. And then, as we see it evolve and grow into the blind community, I go, wait, what? So I got a loaner one for the weekend. It was actually a loaner from Valley Center for the Blind, and I got it for the weekend, set it up on my smartphone, through Friday night to Saturday, and then Sunday I went and bought them. That's how much I love them because just like the Seeing AI app, you could say, hey Meta, read this to me or look or different phrases. And but you have to hold it, right? You have to hold it to be able to see it. And all I have to do is just pick up the paper and put it in front of me as if I was reading it myself, right? And then of course, just like the Seeing AI, you Meta stop. Meta's answering me, sorry.
Oh, yeah.
And then
It's always listening. The metas are always listening.
connects to your smartphone. It does have an app for activating and connecting to your device. You could take pictures, just tell it to take pictures, it uploads it. It takes videos. The videos right now are in 1 minute clips and it stores it. So if you want to take pictures or videos like Kathy was sharing, if you're out and you're watching sports or at a family gathering or just any environment, you could just tell it to start recording. And then later on, when you get home or you could, bring it up, and if you have low vision, you can look at it and magnify it on your phone so you can see it, you can share it, just like you can any other video or pictures. And When you take a picture, it has a safety, well, it's not a really safety feature, but it allows people to know that you're taking a picture of them. So an actual flash up on the corner, a light, so people could see that you're either recording or taking a picture of them. Because I
And they had
believe when they first came out, because of privacy, it didn't have it.
privacy. Yeah.
But now it does. I use them all day long, every day. If I can't see something on my screen, on my computer, documents, mail, everything, without having to, pull out my portable CCTV or my handheld magnifiers that I have, to be able to just, the information's right there. And of course, it also connects to your internet, so I mean to your phone, so it has access to the web. So you can ask it any question, just like you do Siri or Alexa. You play your music through it, your Bard Mobile, if you have Bard on your phone, or ebooks, whatever. Turn on voiceover, it all plays in your ears, like she said. There's volume control. And it's so funny because it uses that. I don't know if any of you know about the Bluetooth headsets. They're called jawbones, and basically what it is it recognizes when it's at your jaw. So the glasses have that same feature. So as soon as you put it on, then it knows it's on your face, and you'll hear it go bleep, and it's active and you use it at your whim. So they are upgrading them all the time. It's not the most perfect. I believe you could even connect it to your GPS walking, because if it plays the audio, it's going to be in your ear as well.
Yeah,
But
we've done maps in clinic too, Jamie. Can you map out where the closest ice cream store is? And then it starts to tell you how to go to the ice cream store through the glasses, which I think is really cool. And the fun part of these glasses for Jamie and I is when we trial them with people in clinic or at the or we took them to Bakersfield and showed them to some Bakersfield clients as well. And the face, when you put them on someone and they use them for the first time. I mean, I had a lady cl crying in clinic one day. I'm not going to have my sister read my mail anymore. So it's very exciting technology for us. And we're very excited to share about it. And economically, they're only $350. So price-wise, compared to a other reader device that's $2,000, it's definitely a cost-effective device for most of our really low vision and blind, friends. So we're very excited to share about those if you weren't knowledgeable about those before. And then I'm going to talk about the last thing that I do during a low vision assessment is we introduce and talk to each patient about their sensitivity to light or glare problems. And then we trial what we call filters or tints. They're described as filters in the medical community. Tints obviously make more sense for all of us that aren't in that medical side of it. But these are a wonderful option for even almost our completely blind patients. What these do is they put a colored tint that cuts the high or features high contrast. I'm trying to get my words here so it makes the most sense. They do high light transmission to improve objects' definition through reducing glare from artificial lighting or sunlighting, and they block high energy lighting too. So, like LEDs in a store that are really uncomfortable. This combination of filtered properties optimizes visual acuity in good lighting features and even in low lighting conditions as well. And they come in full frame fit over style, so they can fit over a pair of natural glasses that someone wears every day. Or you can get them as clip-ons for a pair of glasses. You can even get clip-on flip-ups for glasses. I personally like the fit-overs because they cover the peripheral side of someone's vision too and protect from that sunlight or light that's coming in the side. But of course, it's everybody's, a little bit different about what, their preference is. These tints come in all types of colors. The most popular colors for low vision are yellow and rose. Yellow comes in two different colors, two different types of yellow. There's a one called a lemon yellow, and it's an inside tint, so it's for when you're inside, not necessarily outside. And again, what that yellow tint does is cuts the glare in the room, and it accents some of the features of different objects. And so I'll put these on some people inside, and they'll be like, "Oh my gosh, I can see." So it's really something simple but can make a dramatic difference in someone's acuity. And then we have the polarized yellow, which is for outside wear. So I do a lot of, I call it my field trips at the office. I take people out into the sun and we try the different tints for them to see which one they like the best out in the sunlight. But the yellow outside, what it does is if someone looks at a tree and the tree's normally to them with regular glass sunglasses on or without would just look like a green blob. But when they put the yellow polarized on, it gives them some detail. So they can actually see some of the leaves and accents that definition for them. And then rose does the same thing. I kind of tease, are you a yellow or a rose person? Which one do you like the best? But the rose, there's light rose, which is a really soft rose tint. It's actually the one that Jamie likes, and it's in her Meta glasses. And what the rose tint does is it helps with just general light sensitivity a bit more. People that have migraines or had brain injuries or other just general, types of eye conditions, rose just works better for them. Does the same thing that the yellow does. It accents and sharpens things, makes the eyes more comfortable from fatigue. And then we have our dark roses, and that's more for outside in the sunlight. Or we call them berries tones too. Then there's oranges, and oranges come in all different types of orange tones. And then there's ambers that come in different amber tones. And then there's also your traditional gray. All right. Occasionally, someone still just likes their gray typical sunglasses. Most low vision people don't like gray because they take away the vision that they have versus accenting the vision that they have. So we don't see a lot of people with the preference of gray, but on occasion we do. So we have our glasses at the office where we try all of these different tints on. And then I even have a filter set that has some other really unique ones like blues and, pinks and purples. And, those are rare, but there's an occasion where those will also come into play. And then we can send those patients' glasses or just frame to get those super specialty tints made at a place on the East Coast that does these special tints for our patients. So I do a lot of frame shopping and shipping and to get these specialty tents made for the patients that need them. And so that's really the last thing I do with my low vision patients is do those filters with them. And then we make our recommendations based on our findings. So that's basically all I've got, Jamie.
Because you know that there's the different the amber lighting, like lamps, you have the soft,
Oh,
you have.
So there are, and that's the other thing that I do when I start the magnifier trial, is we have some magnifiers that have the different colored tones. So we have the LED type tone that's more of a cool tone, and then we have the warm tones. Some people don't like the LED as much because it's too bright for them, and the warmer tone's better for them. But primarily, people like the cool LED because it's the brightest to help them accent the vision the most. And if, I get the question like that, ooh, I'd like rose lighting in my house. You can actually get different bulbs and things like that that people can put in their lights and lamps if they so choose to. It's not as popular, but it does happen sometimes. Yes, Charlene's raising her hand.
Good eyes. Go ahead, Charlene.
Got to unmute. You're talking about a lot of great products and stuff, but the bottom line for people becomes, how do I pay for all this? Is there any way to you can connect people with ways of funding for some of these devices?
Wish I could. We had some state funding for a while last year that really helped us with some of our financially, strapped clients. But of course, that funding went dry. Most of this stuff is purchased through DOR. The recommendations go through the Department of Rehab, and they will purchase the more expensive ones, obviously, and then they'll send us authorizations for us to do the tents, and then I order those for a lot of our clients. And then I also have cheaper recommendations for people that have to go that route. Amazon, and there's some other websites, Maxeds, that have some of this stuff a lot, reasonably priced, not as high of quality, obviously. But I try to do everything I can, to help them figure out how to purchase, where to purchase. I have a resource form that I complete for them. To help them to, go home and remember what the recommendations were and write everything out for them. We do have some funding through OIB, the older individuals with blindness. So we are able to purchase some tents for them and some nothing over $1,000, basically, the larger ticket items. And then I'll refer them, some of them that need those, to some of our reps, who can, help them with, the financial side of that. So we do our best. We try really, really hard, to do what we can to help people with that. But unfortunately, Medicare doesn't pay for them. Regular insurance doesn't pay for them. Similar, like hearing aids and that kind of thing. So I wish we could do more, but we do our best.
Here in California, there's the grants, which you was mentioning, OIB, which is the Older Individual. Those grants are provided to organizations within California through the State Rehabilitation, DOR.
Jamie, your audio is cutting in and out. Not sure what's going on.
So to be, is that better?
That's better right this second, yeah.
So to see if you qualify, well, the main qualifications through the OIB grant, Older Individual Blind, is you have to be legally blind and over the age of 55, or it's 55 or older. So I would recommend that you reach out to any of your local blind centers that do services and are part of Department of Rehab, and ask them if they have services for with the grant with OIB. And if they do, I recommend you getting an appointment for an assessment and seeing what they can do to help you for the cost of things, especially the med glasses. It's for a lot of us, $300 in comparison is a lot less, but for many of us, it might as well be 3,000, right? 300, 3,000, it's, there's not a lot of difference, but going through those other programs, there could be some help there.
We just got authorization for a YIB to get the meta glasses in Bakersfield, Jamie.
Awesome.
Yeah, so
And
we just got those for them. He just received them this last week.
so what YIB is younger individuals that are blind. And that is under the age of 55 and have no plans to go to work. Okay, so those are the three DOR services. The regular DOR rehab, all the trainings and services for individuals who want to go to work or retain their job or go back to work. Older individual, the grant is for 55 and older. and then the YIB, which is younger individuals are blind that are under 55 and are not going to work. So it's kind of like three programs in one now, because I'm sure many of you years ago, DOR used to have the, what was it called? The it had to do with independent living skills primarily, like a stay at home.
The
I don't know.
homemaker program.
Jan probably remembers what it's called. But
The
anyway,
homemaker program.
the what? Well, anyway, that funding was cut about 5 years ago, 6 years ago. And then now they have these new grants that pretty much replaces it. So yeah, talk to your local DOR or Blind Field Services in your home areas here in California. That could definitely help you out.
Other
Okay.
questions?
Anybody have any questions for Kathy? Happy to answer those for you.
Maybe I just confused everyone, Jamie. Nope. Oh, Nancy, yay, another question.
I have a question. I'm totally blind, but I've had doctors' forms I had to fill out. I hate the term legally blind because why don't they say totally blind or partially sighted or visually or low vision? I don't, what does legally blind really mean? Is it ever going to stop? Is that terminology ever going to be stopped? Thank you.
They use the term legal blindness. Anyone who has vision less than 2200 is legally blind. And they use the legal
Oh.
blindness term. Yes, so less than that. And in low vision, usually they rank, the way that it works is 20/70 and or better corrected vision is n considered normal vision. Of course, 20 with someone with 20/70 vision is not normal, but that's just what that is basically how they code it. It has to do with medical coding and terms. So if you're
Oh,
worse than
wow.
20/70 to 20/200, you're low vision one. And low vision one, basically you're not technically legally blind yet, but then you hit 20/200 and 20/200 to 20. It's like 2600 basically is low vision two. And then you go to the blind levels, blind level three, blind level four, and blind level five. Blind level five is NLP, no light perception. So a lot of these are graded for coding purposes for insurance billing, Medicare benefits, and then the legal blindness definition is there for different types of other benefits, SSI benefits,
Oh,
different
wow.
things like that. So that's why they have those terms. And I agree, some of them sound silly and ridiculous, but it's more for benefit and insurance coding billing.
Oh, what an education. Thank you very much.
Oh, glad to help. I guess I could have started with that, huh?
Yeah.
Anything else?
You
Well,
are.
thank you. Well, thank you for having me today, and I hope you all learned something.
All right. Well, thank you, Kathy, so much. And if anybody has any questions later on, I can always get those to you as well.
Absolutely.
Okay. So we'll take this time. We still have some time to open it up. And I'm just kind of curious, what type of tools do you use on a daily basis for your low vision, your visual impairments? Like for me, Kathy Blewett, my favorite tool right now is the Meta glasses. I'm not totally blind, I'm partially sighted. And according to what Kathy said, I'm level two, I believe. Maybe level three, I don't know. I think it's level two.
No, I think you're blind level three, Jamie, because of your peripheral vision loss. Yeah,
Okay.
because
So,
there's a degree of peripheral vision loss that's incorporated in that too. So, yes.
Anybody want to raise their hand and share what one of their favorite low vision devices are? I know that there's a lot out there, and maybe not everybody knows about certain items that can help them on their daily living. Anybody?
Nicola's hand is raised.
Hi there. One of the things for TV that helps if you're visually impaired but not totally blind is these glasses that have all these little pinpoints in them. Because I'm 20/70 in one eye and 20/25 in the other. And so I have to use glasses when I'm reading and stuff like that. But those really help with the TV. They help to clear it up. And I don't know how it works, but they do. And I don't know if they're still available, but I have them in two of my rooms where the televisions are. So it's just a thought. And I think you can get those from Amazon.
Yes, you can. They are available, and I can explain that.
Great. I think they call them pinpoint or something. If you could give us the name, that would be helpful too. Thank you very
It's called
much.
a it's called pinhole effect. And what the pinhole effect is when you look, think about when you can't see something, what do? You try to squint. And squinting or pinholes, what that does is it basically shoots the light through the pupil directly to the retina, similar to a pair of glasses. And that pinhole effect makes the vision better. So people will use it for television, viewing. But what the pinhole effect is telling us is that some prescription could actually make your vision better, like with a pair of glasses, most of the time. Every case is different, obviously. But we use that pinhole effect in clinic when we check someone with that doesn't have glasses and they see 20/200, and then we'll put the pinhole in front of them and they'll read 20/50. So we know that with glasses, possibly we could make their vision 20/50. So we use those in a clinical setting to determine that. Yes, and it's very real, and it's because of that small bit of light reflecting through the pinhole directly to the retina where you want it to for your best acuity.
Thank you for that explanation. I never knew that.
You're welcome.
Never know. Them over my glass, over my meds? I don't think so.
When you're watching TV, you don't need your meds.
But I have my prescription in them now.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. You do.
They're my regular glasses now, which makes it very convenient, and I don't lose my as I always do, sunglasses. Put them down, can never find them again. Too many times. Okay, anybody else? Any low vision devices that you want to share that you use? We already learned about the pinhole. See, I didn't even know. Not that I know everything, but does anybody still use like the low vision paper pen? Do you have enough vision for those? Or have you used low vision papers in the 2020 pen?
Vivian Younger has a question, and so does David Jackson. Vivian was first.
Actually, not a question. I do a variety of things. So the dark lines and using the felt tip pen is really useful. I use a lot of contrast in my home. If I'm cutting up vegetables, I'll get a contrast board and use it. Also, I also like to have I like to blend what I can see, and sometimes it's faster to do things with your hands when you have low vision, like I do, and the level that I do, and the vision that I have. So I'm a believer in embracing the vision that you have. So I like to get rid of as many shadows in my house as possible. So I make sure that there's adequate lighting, especially in the darker areas, like let's say where I have my bookcase in the corner, you know, that type of thing. So I do things like that.
Great.
That's great. Thank you for sharing. And the contrast is really important for us, right? I mean, even I just kind of did some remodeling, and I make sure that. And I have for a long time is, you know, painting just the light switches a darker color or a lighter color, depending on what the co colors are in the house, so I can see the contrast for the light switches and the plugs, right? And it's super easy to do. You just, you know, go and get some paint that'll go over plastic and put them on a newspaper and spray them. Let them dry and reinstall them to the colors that you want that, you know, match within your home, basically.
David Jackson has his hand raised. Go for it, David. David, you can ask your question or share. Maybe his audio is having problems.
Can I add one more thing while he's waiting to come on? I just wanted to say the glasses are wonderful. Having the contrast glasses, you know, I use the gray, the amber, and also the yellow in all completely different situations. So
Oh, great. I love hearing that story.
it really makes a
Name.
big difference.
I'm
And
unmuted.
some people they're surprised, you know, when I walk out with glasses on to start with, I thought you were totally blind.
Hey, one of our ILS instructors, I thought she was, you know, and I think she is almost completely blind, but she had such bad light sensitivity. And we got her the berry ones, and now she's able to work in, you know, a lighted condition much better. And so it's been very beneficial to her. So everyone's different, you know, and different tints work differently for everyone. There's David.
Can you hear me? Yes.
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 Okay. So, what I'm using now is Seeing AI, which is a wonderful app. I can take my phone and I can put it on a document. I can hover it over a document and it will read it to me. So I can read short articles and I can also go to the store and I can do the barcode. So in that sense, it's very helpful. I don't have to use any magnification. It'll go right through and it'll go right through the phone and I can hear it through my hearing aids. So it's wonderful.
Awesome.
Yeah, seeing AI is great.
Yeah,
So
it
imagine them on your face in the Meta glasses, David.
Yeah, I will. I think that's the next step for me. The phone is wonderful, but I like to have my hand free.
Yeah, absolutely.
So thanks for letting me talk, and sorry for the inconvenience. Technology is wonderful, but sometimes it can be a bear.
Yeah, sometimes we all have to work at it, David. It's not just you.
That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, Leilane.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Thanks for this presentation. Really helpful.
Oh, great.
I have a question that I'm struggling with. I have some vision, But my question has to do with lighting and when I do computer work. I'm struggling with, I have natural light by the window, and I'm really not sure whether I should close my shutters and have it be dark or have some lighting, and I'm not sure what kind of lighting is going to help me while I do computer work.
Well, it totally depends on your, you know, that room, and it's hard to know how to guide you unless we were there. But you know, mobility instructors, that's part of what they do, is they do lighting analysis. And now they go to the home and they analyze the lighting to give you the best possible situation. But Leiling, what you could do first is just try the tints, the filters, and see if any of those help.
Yes, they did. I had one, the cocoon, the yellow one.
Yeah.
Really, it really helps me with the glare on the computer screen as well as natural lighting.
Great. Yeah.
So my next question is, can we purchase another pair, and where do we buy it from?
You can buy them straight. Straight through the Cocoon's website. If you know the tint and the size that you need, you can do that. And if you're unsure about which color, you know, the website can be helpful as well. Or, you know, where do you live?
I'm in Southern California.
Southern California. So I would call around to your, you know, the practices that are closest to you and see if they have them for you to go in and trial.
Okay.
I know probably, you know, Long Beach has, you know, I can't remember the name of their center, but they probably have them there if Long Beach is close to you. But yeah, just, you know, obviously if you're in Fresno, I'd come and I'd let you test them with me, but, yeah, you know what you can even do is you can call Cocoons and find out who is the reps in your area, and then you can visit them and then try the different ones on and see.
Okay. Actually, I got mine from the either the Wayfinders.
Yes.
It took a long time to receive it.
To receive them. Yeah.
So, and I like the yellow ones.
Yellow's great. Yeah. The lemon yellow is the Cocoon's color for inside. And then the yellow polarized. And since you're sitting with the bright light coming in too, the polarized may be helpful, you know? So just a thought, the yellow polarized as well.
Okay. Yeah. I did not know about that polarized. Yeah. So I'll look for it.
Yeah. Yeah. Check that out. Some people like those inside when they're in with the windows open with the brightness. I have patients that like them both. So it just depends on you, but I would definitely try that.
Okay. I'm constantly struggling with the lighting in that room and just, you know, try many options.
Well, like one of our others shared that she has three different colors that she uses. So sometimes it's just finding the right color for the right, you know, situation. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Jan?
Yeah. Hi, Kathy. I had a question regarding the Meta glasses. I was thinking about getting them, and originally I was thinking about getting the transition lenses. So when I'm inside, it, you know, I could see stuff better in a store, and then when I'm outside, I could have the sunglass part. But I understand that if you're wearing them in a car with the transition thing, then they don't turn into sunglasses because of the screen, because of the windshield. Is that true?
It depends on the lighting or the windshield tint. If it's like a dark, you know, like if you have like, what's the windows when they're tinted, you know, and so it's hard because it's not recognizing the sun, you know, as much. So it totally depends on the windows in your car. Transitions should change in your vehicle as well. But I have had patients complain that because of tinted windows that they don't get dark enough for them. So,
okay. So I was just wondering what you'd recommend then if you don't get the transition, what kind of lenses, what color lenses to get on them?
I would maybe go just with clear and then get some fit overs.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just regular fit overs that could
get the clear Metas And then you're going to have them for all scenarios. And then you can get fit overs with the tint that you like for when you're driving in the car that fit over the Metis.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, Jen.
That's a good idea. Thank you. Thank
you're
you.
Welcome. You're welcome.
Oh, Jen.
Nikki?
Yes. Thank you. You know, there's something else too. I discovered the blue light glasses a couple
the
of years ago.
The blue light blockers.
Yeah. And I find that if I wear them all the time, and they're available in subscription, a prescription as well. Mm-hmm. And I find that, for example, if I end up in Costco and I don't have them on within 5 minutes, my eyes are driving me crazy because the fluorescent lights are terrible. So those are really important when you're doing, and basically there, I use them at home unless I'm going to be somewhere for a while and they've got fluorescent lights, but I always carry them with me. But they're wonderful for computer work, because even if you can't see that very well, it's affecting your eyes.
Yeah.
And that's really important. So maybe you could talk a little bit about that. Thank you.
Yeah. Blue light blockers basically protect you from the lights from the computer. Especially, you know, they have people say don't be on your computer at night before you go to bed, because those, you know, that computer and phone cellular gets into the eyes and causes us to have a little bit of insomnia. So we block the blue light, will block that and will help. And a lot of people have reported to Nikki, yes, that the blue light will help them in those big types of stores, because they just block enough of that light to make their eyes more comfortable. And the blue light also prevents eye fatigue as well. Of course, a lot of the filters help with eye fatigue, but people that don't have a lot of vision issues will like the blue light blockers for that reason as well. So yeah, they're great. I love them, and I use them at night when I'm, you know, on my cell phone or whatever, because I know that helps you, helps your body produce that melatonin, you know, that you need. And that doesn't happen when you have a computer or a cell phone in your face. Yeah.
And you can still use the flip-ons as well.
Oh yeah. Yeah. The flip them. You can, you've got all those options. Definitely. All right, Jamie, we're almost at time, huh?
Okay. Can you guys hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. So I think my speaker went out or something. I put my headset back on because it was low battery. But I was trying to make a couple comments, but hey, you know what? You captured all of it, Kathy. So
good.
Obviously we want to thank Kathy Burke for being here today.
Yes.
And presentation and answering some of our questions, let you know CCCLV is live and running. Our meetings are on the first Monday of every month, and you can reach out to us. And again, Penny is our president. You can reach out to myself. We're on the website at CCB as well. And with CCLVI, they have a podcast that's called Let's Talk Low Vision. You can ask any of your devices to play Let's Talk Low Vision. It's called the Media One for ACB. And I always listen to it on Alexa, but you could ask Siri to do it, anything that has podcasts, or go to the website and, you know, hit the link and enjoy some of their educational. And they also have speakers every month. So I would, you know, recommend going out there and listening to them as well. It's called Let's Talk Low Vision. So I thank you guys for all joining us today. I hope, you know, you learned something to take it home. Tell your friends and come and see us at CCCLV. And Everybody have a great, great weekend. Enjoy the rest of the pre-convention and then the convention coming up.
Thank you so much, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.